Please take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 24. While you're turning, let me make a couple of announcements. Just a reminder of the senior picnic tonight is still planned. It will be in the activity center. This coming Monday during the chapel hour, our focus will be on the various mission teams that went out this past summer as they went out with the Word of God to spread it around the world. Mr. Mark Vowles, our missions director, will lead the chapel service. It will include a number of testimonies and experiences from our students that they experienced this summer. This next week, Monday through Friday, will be a campus blood drive. The blood connection buses will be parked out in front of the alumni building. And this is a very practical way for our student body to reach out to the community and meet this critical need. So I hope that you'll give blood next week. We have today some guests that are with us. We have, first of all, a wonderful group of young people with our college up close, many of them who came down in the BJU bus from Pennsylvania. And we also have 14 pastors who are visiting with us today. And so I'd like to ask all of those in the college up close and all of the pastors, if you would, please to stand. And let's welcome them as the BJU family here today. Thank you. You may be seated. How many of you have ever heard of a man named Vinko Bogataj? Anybody ever heard of him? Probably not. When I was a kid growing up, my favorite television program was The Wide World of Sports on ABC. I used to watch it every Saturday afternoon, and if you've ever seen it, it has a very interesting introduction. It says, bringing to you the best in sporting entertainment, bringing to you the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. The thrill of victory is the conclusion of the Indianapolis 500, and the agony of defeat is a guy that is going down a 90-meter ski jump. How many of you have ever seen that before? Okay. So it's probably now passing your generation, or you don't watch Wide World of Sports, whatever. And this guy's coming down this 90-meter ski jump. I mean, it's famous. And all of a sudden, he loses control, and he goes flying off the end, and he hits the ground. He bounces up. His arms are flailing and legs everywhere, and skis going flying off. And then the clip ends, and you go on to the next point. Now, I used to watch that every single Saturday, and I used to think, who is that guy? Whatever happened to him? Did he survive? Well, his name is Vinko Bogataj. He is from the country of Slovenia, and he was a ski jumper in West Germany in 1970. Well, I found out what happened to him. Number one, he did survive. He didn't die. He did go on to ski jumping, but not too much after that, and so he took up a more gentler sport. He became an artist. And his famous line was, every time I'm on ABC, I crash. That's what he's known for. He's known for his famous fall. I'd like us to read in Proverbs 24, verse 15 and 16, what the writer of Proverbs tells us as God's people that we should do when we fall. The scripture says, lay not wait, O wicked man, against the dwelling of the righteous. Spoil not his resting place, for a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. Would you read that verse with me, verse number 16, just the first half of it? Would you say it with me? Let's say it together. Ready? For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. The question that I'd like to try to ask and answer this morning is, how is it that you respond to the times in your life when you fall? How do you face your falls? Well, the Bible here says that a just man falls seven times, and what does he do? He rises up again. This particular verse speaks of the resilience of a good man, a just man, who does not succumb to evil, because when he falls, he keeps getting back up. You could say it this way: you can't keep a good man down. For a just man falleth seven times, but he riseth up again. So, how do you face your falls? Let me give you some suggestions this morning. Number one, the first thing is that when you fall, you have to face your falls honestly. The Bible says a just man falls. The word just can refer to someone who's been saved. They've been justified. Fact is, in Genesis 15 and verse 6, Abraham becomes the example of how all people in all times are saved. Because we're all saved the same way. It's not a salvation in the Old Testament that's different than the New Testament. The Bible says that Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. That is, he put his faith in God and God imputed or placed onto his account his own righteousness. He's justified. So what does this tell us? It tells us that just people fall. Or it can refer to somebody who's living rightly or living justly. Micah 6:8, he has shown thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, to live rightly, to walk in obedience to Torah, to the law. So in either case, whether it's referring to just someone who's saved or it's referring to someone who's not just saved, but they're walking in obedience to God, I think it probably refers to both. In either case, this person ends up doing what is the exact opposite of who he is and what he desires to do. He falls. It's the last thing that a saved person wants to do. It's what we hate, but we do it anyway. Can I ask you a question this morning? How many of you ever end up doing the very things that you don't want to do? How many of you ever experienced that? Well, then what do you have to do? You have to be honest about it. A just man falls. Be honest. Agree. Acknowledge it. And let me just say this, that oftentimes our falls are unintentional. They're not planned falls. They're based on the circumstances that come in our life and the way we respond and the way we react. This past May and June, my wife were overseas on a trip for Bob Jones University, and we went to a lot of different places, Guam, Singapore, Seoul, Korea. We went to Shanghai, Guangzhou, and Hong Kong, China. And we were in the Guangzhou train station, and it's an hour and a half ride to Hong Kong. So it was my wife and I and Mr. Brian Boudreau, who works here with us at the university, and then some of the folks from China. And we were being led through the Guangzhou train station by a dear lady who was giving us the directions of how to get where we needed to go. And we had to go up and down escalators. Well, no problem going up and down escalators. I mean, I've done it all my life. The only problem was I had two bags, and they both weighed 70 pounds apiece. One of them had, you know, our stuff, and the other one had BJU stuff that we were giving away to people as gifts. And so we came to the escalator. Of course, I've gone up and down escalators with luggage, you know, like I said, you know, thousands of times. And so I took these two, and I took the first one, and I pushed it up on the escalator and stood it straight up on the little step. You know what I'm talking about? And then I pulled the other one, and I pulled it up on its step. So I was holding this one and holding this one. The only problem is that the one that below me, the corner wheel got caught on the stairs that was going up. And so as I was holding it, it was actually lifting up, and I was trying to jerk it back in place to drop down on the stair, and I couldn't do it. So I'm holding on to this, and I'm holding on to this, and this is coming up, and then all of a sudden that 70-pound bag started to tip over. And I thought that I was strong enough to pull it back, and I did not pull it back, it pulled me over. and I literally rolled over the top of this suitcase. And I knew what was happening. It was like it was in slow motion. And I sort of curled up in a ball thinking I would go over one time and stop and get up. Well, I didn't go over one time. I just started rolling down the escalator. And I didn't stop until literally I got at the bottom of the escalator where it flattened out. And there was this dear Chinese lady standing there screaming at the top of her lungs. Well, it was slightly embarrassing, okay? Now, my wife and I have been married 35 years, so my wife knows me very well. And she knows that when I do something like that, she never says a word to me. She doesn't say, "Sweetheart, are you okay?" And my response is, "Leave me alone." Okay? I'm stupid. I'm dumb. I'm embarrassed. And I got up like the guy in the commercial, you know, who gets thrown halfway across a football field, hits a wall, and gets up, says, "I'm good." You know, that's kind of my response. I'm good. I'm all right. One moment, I'm standing up, and the next moment, I am laying flat on my back. And it was unintentional. When we look at those in the Bible who fall, I really believe many times it was an unintentional, it was not a presumptuous sin. They weren't planning on this. I don't think Noah planned to get drunk. I don't think Abraham planned to lie. I don't think it was the intention of Moses to kill someone. I don't even think David, when he walked out on his rooftop that day, was intentionally planning to commit adultery. And yet what we discover is that even the best of Christians, under various circumstances, fall. So my question is this: have you fallen? Are you tainted with sin? Are your garments stained with the world? Have you made promises that you have not kept? Do you have some excess baggage that you're dragging around that's pulling you down? Then how do you face your falls? Number one, you've got to face them honestly. You cannot hide. You cannot cover. You cannot think they're going to go away. They're there. Admit it. But then let me say, secondly, how do you face your falls? Not only honestly, but you face your falls humbly. What does the Bible say? It says, a just man falls seven times. Now, to me, that's kind of humbling. Seven times? You know, the first time, shame on you. The second time, shame on me. So, seven times. What is he talking about? Is he saying seven? There are seven different things you fall over, but you just do it one time? You know, seven different things, but just one time? Is that what he's saying? Or is he saying that you fall over the same thing seven times? Well, what's your experience? Do you just make one mistake on one thing, or do you find yourself falling over the same things over and over and over? When my children were younger and I had to discipline them, my wife and I had a very clear methodology of the way we did it, and it was something that we felt like was the right thing to do for our children. But in the end, it was always a time of prayer and tears and hugging and loving. And if my children said it once, they said it over and over and over, that when they did wrong and they were disciplined, they looked at me and they were wiped the tears from their eyes and they say, "Daddy, I not do that again." Well, let me ask you a question. You think they did it again? Of course they did. Over and over. We're like a running back at a football game who gets the ball, and every time he gets the ball, he wants to run a touchdown. He just keeps running into the linebacker. We're like the hockey player who's skating to put the puck in the back of the net. He just keeps getting checked. And although it is very humbling, it's a fact of reality that we fall, and many times we fall over the same things over and over and over. Our struggle with fears, our own internal emotional struggles we face. You ask yourself the question, why am I this way? Why do I keep feeling this way? Why can't I change? Maybe you struggle with anger or lust, or maybe you struggle with insecurity. Maybe you find yourself being easily influenced with the wrong crowd. Fact is, you came to Bob Jones University with the full intention to have the right crowd, and you're going to make the right friends, and you find yourself falling back into the same hole. And I'm going to tell you this, that you'll never deal with your falls if you're not willing to be humble about it. A just man falleth seven times. So what is he saying? We need to be honest about it. We need to be humble about it. We need to agree, and we need to be willing to admit. But then notice number three, how do you face your falls? You face them intelligently. What does the Bible say? A just man falleth seven times. Now, I'm sure many of you realize that the number seven is a symbol. It has a meaning to it. It's the idea of completion or perfection. So when we talk about perfection in the Bible, we're not talking about being sinless. We're talking about arriving at a destination. So if you're on a trip and you go from one place to the next and you arrive at your location, you could say, I'm completed. My journey's over. I'm perfected. That's the idea of the number seven. So I actually think that this is an encouraging statement. A just man falleth seven times. And that is, he falls, but he gets up. And if you keep getting up after a while, eventually you're going to stop falling. I mean, at some point, it's over with. You get the victory. You stop doing this. My son Stephen, when he got his first bicycle, it had the little training wheels on it. And at that time, I was working at Northland Camp and Conference Center up in northeastern Wisconsin. And we had our fifth wheel trailer, and we were parked right next to the basketball court. He said, Daddy, I want to go ride my bicycle. I said, okay. So he went out to the basketball court with his little bicycle, and his buddies were there, and he was riding around on his training wheels. And of course, you know how little buddies are. They always want to one-up you. So they started mocking him for having training wheels. You know, only babies have training wheels. So he comes back to me and says, Daddy, he said, can I take the training wheels off? I said, yes, son, you can take the training wheels off, but I just want you to understand you're going to fall. But I want you to know that when you fall, you have to keep getting up. And if you keep getting up, eventually you're going to stop falling. So, you know, of course, he had not ridden it without the training wheel, so he thought it would be easy. And he gets on his bike and he goes about 2 feet and he falls over. Skins up his knees, start crying. And I said, get up, son. I told you, you're going to fall. Get up and do it again. So he got up. And guess what he did? He fell again. And after about 5 or 6 times of falling and getting up again, he started to figure out that he was going to fall. So what did he do? He knew he was going to fall, so he just sort of stuck his leg out there and let the bike fall, and he didn't fall again. Wow, he learned. And he got up and fell down and got up and fell down, and he could ride the bicycle in a straight line, and then he tried to do it around the circle, and he would fall and get up again, fall, get up again. I mean, he became a professional at falling. He was really good at it. And by the end of the summer, after falling scores and scores of times, he was now with his buddies doing the jumps, you know, over the sidewalks. And his whole experience of success was actually based on his fallings. You probably heard the statement, but I think it's very true that oftentimes failure is the back door to success. If you learn how to play a musical instrument, how do you get better at it? It's because you start playing and you're perfect? No, you make mistakes. You mess up. But what do? You keep on playing. You keep on practicing. By the way, what do we learn when we fall? We learn a lot of things. We learn, number one, that I'm frail. I'm not as strong as I think I was. How many of you made decisions for Christ when you were a teenager and you said, Lord, I'm going to serve you and follow you? And if I've heard it once, I've heard it scores of times. Teenagers tell me this. They say, I got it. I made the decision. I'm good. I'm going, right. You're going to go back home. You're going to be tempted. You're going to fall. And success is not determined whether or not you fall, or let me say it this way, failure is not based on falling. Failure is based on how you respond to your fall. What do you learn in these times of struggle? You learn that you're weak, that you're frail. But what else do you learn? You learn that God's faithful. God is not going to forsake you. He shall deliver you in 6 troubles. Yea, in 7, there shall no evil touch thee. Job 5:19. Micah 7:8. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy, when I fall. I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be light unto me. Psalm 37:23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. What do we learn? We learn that we're weak, but God is strong. We are frail, but he is faithful. What is God doing? Every time we fall, he is breaking us over our own self-dependence. And he is teaching us one of the hardest lessons to learn that is so basic about Christian living, and that is we have to learn God dependence. We have to learn that I have to trust in him, and it's through this experience of falling and getting up, 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 that finally I get up and I don't fall again in that area. I read a little piece recently I thought was interesting, written by a lady named Portia Nelson on how to deal with temptation. She entitles it, My Autobiography in 5 short chapters. It reads this way. Chapter 1, I walk down the street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I fall in. I am lost. I am helpless. It isn't my fault. It takes me forever to find a way out. Chapter number 2, I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I pretend I don't see it. I fall in again. I can't believe I'm in the same place, but it isn't my fault. It still takes a real long time to get out. Chapter number 3. I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I see. It's there. I still fall in. It's a habit. My eyes are open. I know where I am. It's all my fault. I get out immediately. I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. Chapter number 4. I walk around it. Chapter number 5, I walk down another street. We go through the experience of falling, but what do? We keep getting up. How do you face your falls? Intelligently, understanding. This is the way God is working. And then finally, how do you face your falls? You face them diligently. A just man falls 7 times, and what does it say? He gets up again. Bob Jones Sr. said the test of your character is what it takes to stop you. What does a just man do? He decides to get up. Peter denied the Lord, but what did he do? He got up and he preached at Pentecost and 3,000 people got saved. Don't tell me that God can't use people that have fallen. Mark deserted the Apostle Paul because of fear in the ministry, but what happened? He got up and he came back and he wrote the second gospel, the gospel according to St. Mark. Jonah ran from God, but what happened? He got up, literally got thrown up. And what did he do? He preached at Nineveh, and a revival broke out. You say, well, I've tried that. It just doesn't work. Well, let me ask you a question. Have you tried 7 times? You say, I don't want to go back and make the same mistakes. Well, have you not figured out that's the way to success? For a just man falls, and he gets up again. You say, I don't want to fall. I feel like I'm a hypocrite when I'm falling. You're not a hypocrite. You're not a hypocrite because you fall. You're a hypocrite because you leave the impression that you never fall. And by the way, if anybody left the impression that they had fallen or failed, it was the Lord Jesus. Because what was the picture of his failure? It was the crucifixion. Why was he on the cross? Because he was being executed as a common public criminal. The world rejected him. The religious leaders rejected him. They took him and nailed him to a cross and they put him in a tomb and they thought it was all over with. But what happened? Jesus got up. Literally, he rose from the dead. And the power to live is in the resurrection. For when I fall, he's able to lift me up. So what do you need to do? You need to decide to get up and go forward. I mentioned my son Stephen earlier. When he was a little kid, I took our family to an amusement park in northern Chicago called Great America. Maybe you've been there. It was near the end of the day, and there was a big roller coaster called the Great American Screaming Eagle. It's one of those clankety clank roller coasters, you know, built out of wood. And I said to my son Stephen, I said, "Come on, buddy, let's go ride the Great American Screaming Eagle." He said, "Is it scary?" I said, "Son, you're with your dad. It's all good." So we got in line, and obviously you're not my daughter, so that's very clear. So we got in line and we went into this building, and of course you couldn't see the roller coaster. And then we got a little break and you could see the roller coaster and just going way up towards the clouds. And I said, "Son, this is going to be great. Son, son." And he was backing up and he was going, "No, no, 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 no." I said, "Son, you just come with me. You're with your dad. It's all good." Okay. So we got on the roller coaster, and he was real short, so he couldn't see over the side. So he's sitting there kind of hunkered down, and I'm sitting next to him. I said, "Son, this is going to be great. This is awesome." And so we start up that long, slow, lonely track going up, and he really doesn't know where he is because he can't see over the side. So he has no idea about what's going to happen. Until we get at the very top and we crest over the top and he sees the whole amusement park. He sees we're getting ready to drop some 100+ feet and he decides that he didn't want to be there at that moment. And he began to scream. And he screamed the whole trip. I mean, it was embarrassing. I thought I was going to get turned into the police. And I mean, loud lungs screaming the whole trip. And then finally we came into the end and we stopped suddenly and he realized it was all over with. And then he looked at me and he wiped the tears from his eyes and he said, "Daddy, that was fun. Let's do it again." A just man falls 7 times, and what does he do? He what? Say it. He rises up again. So if you've fallen, then get up. You're dismissed.